The Lunchtime Social, brought to you in association with White Fibre, providers of the fastest fibre optic broadband on the island. Call them on 01983 240 240. That's 01983 240 240.
Hey, it's the Lunchtime Social Debate for a Monday. We have Princess Joan in, we have Dame Shirley in, and we are now going to talk about slummy mummies. Do you just want to tell us what slummy mummies is all about?
Right, well, a fed-up head teacher has written to slummy mummies, begging them to stop wearing pyjamas on the school run. She revealed that some even wore pyjamas as slippers to meetings, assemblies and concerts. I think that's dreadful. Anyway, she reckons that they should set a better example to their children. And in the letter she put, "Could I please ask that when you are escorting your children, you take the time to dress appropriately in day wear?" And of course some parents have taken it the wrong way and they're up in arms. I think they should get dressed and do their hair and be presentable. Just because you've got children, it doesn't mean to say you have to slum it.
This must be a new thing, isn't it? Because I was taking my daughter to school about 15 years ago, I suppose. And I was working at the time, so I'd drop her, then go on to work. So I was always dressed, ready for the office.
Yes.
But even if I was at home ill or working from home, I wouldn't have dreamt of going down there looking like that, because I would have been afraid of showing my daughter up, you know, and embarrassing her.
Yeah.
And I think that would be an awful thing to do.
But some of the mummies you see out these days, pushing the pushchairs, I'm sorry, the way they're dressed is not acceptable, I don't think.
But you're not talking about pyjamas and you're talking about something else.
Yeah, that's the slummy mummies, yeah.
Okay, well, let's come back to that in a moment. Yeah. Have you ever been... And I mean, you know, just have you ever been a slummy mummy?
No.
Not even once?
No.
What about you,
Joan? I wouldn't dream of it.
I've never gone out in my pyjamas.
No.
Ever?
No.
Well, I don't wear them anyway.
You get up in the morning.
I don't wear them.
Okay. Thanks. Thanks for that, Joan.
A little insight.
That's brightened up my...
No one expecting at 12:05 on a Monday morning.
It's brightened up my lunchtime already.
I'd go into a lot of trouble if I'd gone out in my sleepwear.
But... Have you ever been out somewhere where you just we've run out of time, I've got to wear whatever I've got, and it's almost like your PJs, or you're not dressed accordingly, you just put a coat on? You've never ever done it?
No.
Never ever?
No.
Okay, interesting.
I wouldn't have done, no.
What about if you've just sort of gone out into the garden or gone down to meet somebody at the door, you've just chucked a dressing gown on or whatever? It's not a hard question.
I suppose if you're somebody at the door, you've got to go and answer it and you're in bed.
Yeah.
You have to a dressing gown on.
I was just going back to the kids. I was on this parenting course once. I put my hand up, I went to a parenting course. And one of the suggestions they had for disciplining, to get kids to school who were refusers, who didn't want to go.
Yeah.
One of their strategies was to say, go in your pyjamas and take your child to school in your pyjamas, because then, you know, they'll go on their own then if they think you're going to turn up in your pyjamas.
Embarrass your children.
Yeah, so it was advocated as a punishment for that child who didn't want to go to school. So for mothers just to be doing it as the norm seemed really odd to me. It's not setting a great example to the kids, is
it? No, I don't think it does.
Okay, why? Why does it? Just say, for instance, if you get out of bed and just jump in the car, take your kids to school and walk them to the gate, you know, I think I'm asking the question, I know it's quite obvious, but why? Why is it deemed inappropriate?
Well, you wouldn't let your child go out with their pyjamas on, with a dressing gown on the top, would you?
I don't know. No. If you transport one child to another house, you know, parents that have split up, they may be ready for bed and they may be sat in the car with dressing gown.
Sometimes you have to do that.
Exactly.
Yeah, but not take them to school like it. Or take them shopping.
No.
You know, it's...
But they do go out in the car, that's what I say. You know, what's the difference?
I think it's all about being part of a civilised society, isn't it? setting certain standards.
Setting standards to your children.
Yeah, and how we are expected to behave in certain situations and at certain
but
times.
But I can't understand the parents that have turned up to, when they come to, what was it, they go to assemblies and concerts and that, meetings. I can't understand that the people turning up in pyjamas and slippers to those.
No. How do you differentiate between pyjamas and normal clothes?
I know.
Because
I know.
There's a picture in front of me now. There's a lady, it looks like, in actual fact, it looks like a nan. But let's just say it is a mum, okay, because it's an easy mistake to make. Mm. She is dressed with a coat. She's got red trousers on, and she's got some of those big old... what are they called? UGG boots. Yeah.
Like slippers, really. Yeah,
they are like slippers, but how do you differentiate between slippers and UGG boots? And is it okay for people to wear UGG? I'm looking at her thinking, okay, you've highlighted that this problem is this woman. Mm. Not this woman totally, but this woman is one of the people that is going to the school with a coat on, with a red pyjama bottoms, I'm assuming, although they can be misconstrued.
They could be trousers,
so,
you see.
So how do we differentiate between the two?
I don't know, because they do look similar, don't they?
Yeah, we'll have to go back to the old stripy pyjamas and the Wee Willy Winky hat, won't
I mean,
we?
In the summer, we wear flowered trousers, don't we? You know? I mean, they could be pyjamas. So I don't quite know how they can tell.
I suppose it's also that idea that if you're still in your pyjamas, you haven't washed or cleaned your teeth, or brushed your hair, perhaps. There's that inference, isn't there? Because if you've had a shower, you're not going to put your pyjamas back on, presumably.
And some ladies in the summer, some of the skimpy dresses and that they wear, they could be a nightie.
Yeah. Would you have come in your pyjamas, Shirley?
Oh, gosh, no.
No. And I wouldn't have dared come in without having a bath. Because I'm completely obsessed with my deodorant on, because I know how fussy Ian is.
I think we all are in
absolutely.
The studio. Yes.
So I have my bath, and then I wouldn't, if I did wear pyjamas, I wouldn't be putting
them
back on.
But I can remember years and years ago when women wear rollers, used to see them out in town with rollers.
Yeah.
But I never used to wear
with
my rollers
headscarf.
Out. Yeah. Oh, I used to wear a headscarf.
But I mean, no, the rollers under the headscarf.
Yes.
Slightly concealed.
I wouldn't do that, but people would. You'd see them out rollers, but I would never wear my rollers out. You know, it's just...
It's interesting how they differentiate. I would imagine that sometimes it's obvious, but there are times when it's not. So how do you police it? How do you police? There's a picture. I say the picture here of a lady. You can see her there. I make it bigger for you, Dame Shirley. But when you look at her, you think, well, that might not be pajamas.
Like trousers.
But she's being highlighted.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know, the chances are they are pyjamas because they've taken a picture of her and put it... But what if they're not? I mean, you know, Karen Routh wore pyjamas to take her daughter to school in protest of known nightwear rules imposed on parents. So, yes, that is... Now I've read that, we now know that it's pyjamas, but before, we didn't know, and you said it was okay. And so did I. Acceptable. That looks okay. But now we know... We're now thinking, here, hang on, and that's how difficult it can be. How do you differentiate?
I don't know.
It's impossible to do.
I don't know how this headmistress can tell at all.
I think it's really incredibly difficult to police. And just to move it on a little bit, I think we mentioned earlier on about some supermarkets as well have said that they are not open to people that are still wearing their pyjamas.
They're going to ban them, those that come in... I'm not sure what supermarket it was, but they were talking about it on the television. They're going to ban them coming in their nightwear, in their dressing gowns.
So how big a problem is it then? Is it a regular thing on these 24-hour supermarkets?
I have heard that people going out at night in their dressing gowns. Yeah, yeah.
I think it's not a very good example for youngsters, but at the same time, is it a huge crime? When you think, what's worse? I remember going shopping about 10 years ago, and I went into what was Morrison's, then it would have been Safeway's, and it was a really, really hot day, and there was a sign up saying no vests, no one was allowed to, you had to have some top on, okay?
Oh, I agree with that.
So you had to have some top on.
Yes.
This lady was swanning around the supermarket, and every man in the place was... Mm. Had their eyes on her. She had like an oversized string vest on that was like some kind of dress, and she had no top on underneath, and just the skimpiest pair of underwear. She made my day to the point where I can't get that vision out of my head, and we're talking about it 10 years later. I can see her in my mind thinking she's brightening up my day again. But is that acceptable?
You know, yeah, but we don't want to see...
I could see
sweaty old men without their shirts on.
No, let's stick on the subject. I could see her bare breasts, but nobody had the you know, it's even the manager couldn't have the power to go up to her and say, "Would you please cover up?" Okay. Now, what's worse, if you see somebody around town, so if you go for a different supermarket. Tesco was the one you said. You put a different scenario, somebody's walking around in their pyjamas, blatantly in their pyjamas.
Yeah, but they're covered up, aren't they?
And they're going to say to them, sorry, you can't come in here because you've got pyjamas on. But it's all right for a lady to walk around with a string vest with nothing on underneath, but a skimpy little G-string. Mm. And you think, what's acceptable, what's not? How daft are we being?
Yeah.
You know, when it comes down to it, yes, they're wearing their pyjamas. I don't really see a massive issue with it, other than it's a bad example for the kids.
Oh, but yeah, the school one, I think, is... That's bad for the children, I think.
Are the kids embarrassed? Do we know? Are they getting upset by it? Or do they just accept it?
I don't know. I suppose the young ones just accept it, because I suppose there are some mums that stay in their pyjamas all day.
I would be worried, more worried about that. Maybe that's the reason why they should highlight the point is, what are these ladies up to? Are they just letting their kids get up, get their own breakfast, then they swan down when they've done everything and supposedly they're then ready for school? They say, right, I'll take you to school
that's
now
right.
then.
It does go on.
That worries me. Yeah. And if that was the case, then I would be saying we need to change this mindset. But... If mum is getting up with the kids, doing the breakfast, she's done her teeth, she's done it, you know, and she's ready, the only thing she hasn't done is taking her pyjamas off, I don't really see a massive issue. Again, we're kind of not dealing with the problem. We're just shouting at the people that look like a problem with the Barbie dolls earlier on.
Yeah.
We need to educate people's minds. Now, is mum actually getting up and getting the breakfast, making sure that she's...
No, they're probably not. They probably have to get their own, but it's surprising how many children go to school that don't have breakfast.
But we are assuming that.
You know?
Well, we are assuming
I know that.
That
for a fact.
Yeah, but you only know it for a fact, the people that you actually know and told you. The overall problem is there, and nobody knows the answers to that. Only the people that are actually getting out of bed and not actually, you know, getting their kids' breakfast on. I would imagine there's a lot of children out there that don't have a proper breakfast.
They don't.
And
they
one
don't.
Of the reasons why they don't have a proper breakfast is mum or dad can't be bothered to get out of bed.
I know, this is what I mean, yeah.
What was really sad, I know you saw this last week, it was heart-wrenching when you saw, I think they had some awards for I think it was this time last year, where last week, where they had kids that were getting awards for being their parents' carers.
Yeah, amazing. Absolutely amazing, yeah.
I used to work on a charity that was raise money, fundraised for those children so that they could have some respite.
Yes.
Because they become so grown up, they have to be adults in so many ways.
Amazing, weren't
they? And they're still, you know, and yet they're still children. And they've got so much responsibility.
Yeah.
You can't believe that in this country, the government allows that to happen.
No, cause I know,
The other issue that was highlighted when this came out was that a headmaster, I don't know if you saw this, a headmaster wrote to the children in the school, or the parents in the school, and said that he was fed up of seeing dirty, unkempt, and not wearing appropriate school uniform at school. And sometimes in not... So, and he was roasted by parents because he used the term unkempt. Kids were being accused of being unkempt.
It's not the children's fault at all.
Well, it all depends on the age. What age do you put on?
Well, I'm just talking about primary school children, but I suppose when they get to the high school and that's not the parents' fault. That's the students, aren't they?
Yeah, they'll do what they want to do.
It all depends what age group, doesn't it?
Parents still have to oversee it, but there comes a time when a teenage daughter or son should actually be able to get themselves dressed and cleaned.
Yes.
Sure. What age would you put that on, though? 13? 12? 13? 10?
Secondary school.
Well, when they're 10, when they change schools. But I think at the primary schools, I think it's the parents at fault there if they don't see their children are dressed properly and clean.
Katie Hopkins, everybody's favourite. She seems to have a massive amount of support for this because she says slummy mummies who can't be bothered to dress themselves or their kids for school are bad enough, but it's the ones who can't be bothered to get out of bed at all who make my blood boil. Is this the same woman? Because normally she's like roasted, isn't she?
Yes, yeah.
If I ask my kids what they want to do when they grow up, my son says he wants to drive a racing car. My daughter says she wants to teach. And mine says to me that she wants to work with fish. I used to live with a fishmonger. Believe me, it's not what it's cracked up to be. Each of these comes as a test, a driving test, a teaching training test, and pets at home even having a test for owning a goldfish. Whilst most of life's responsibilities is a test, my first marriage was particularly testing. Strangely, there is no test to become a mother. This is Katie Hopkins' words. The very thing which requires the most tenacity, diplomacy, patience and focus to effort, out of effort, comes with neither price nor penalty. Any rough old trout can do the walk of shame back to her council house after spending the night with Sam the Fish, nicknamed this for his breath, and 10 months later and £500 better off thanks to a Sure Start maternity grant, little Lucas will find himself blinking into the the fairy abyss of the mother from hell. I am unsure what the collective noun is for useless mums, like a plague, a wart, a herd, but you know the ones I am talking about. Cheap leggings, stretch, transparent in sunlight, thighs chafing in the breeze around town, Primark bags on each handle of their stroller. This, ladies and gentlemen, is bringing up the next generation of Britons. Now, she goes a little bit too far there. She gets does. A little bit too personal.
She always does, so, doesn't she?
And yeah, so does she think she's a marvellous example to her children?
You see, I didn't know she had children.
The things she says and the things she puts out there when they look back at what she said and
I
done.
I didn't know she had children, yeah.
Yeah, she's got two. Is she a shining example?
I don't know.
And just because you live on a council estate and you can only afford cheap leggings and only afford to shop in Primark, it does not make you a bad mother.
Of course it doesn't. Of course it
and
doesn't.
And some of those mothers who can't work on council estates and they're not qualified, I think they make the best mums in the world because they're absolutely devoted to their children.
Mm. I'm glad you said that because I was thinking it because I grew up on a council estate.
So did I.
And so did I.
And no issues, no issues whatsoever. But obviously that she's stigmatised. She's obviously talking about leggings and things. Gone too far. It's too personal.
Yeah, she always does that, though, doesn't she? Katie
so does that little speech that she's just made there? Does that does that set her children's heart alight with pride that mum's talking about people she doesn't know in that way
and
just generalising?
I don't know how old her children are.
They're quite young.
Well, Gary says Hopkins' latest statements regarding children make her a good parent. A compassionate woman
Exactly.
And then she has to spoil it by saying some kids aren't worth the effort.
Well, you see, that's my point exactly.
Yeah, I don't like them being called kids anyway because they're children.
Dave says you are right once again, Katie. Dave's in Preston. Interesting that she does have some huge support here, but these peasants have time to apply fake tan and false eyelashes along with cheap perfume.
Because they're not all paid millions because you've got this lovely media career you have, Katie.
She started off on The Apprentice, didn't she?
Yeah, but she was a business. That's, she was a sassy businesswoman before
that.
Yeah,
before that.
So she's made her mark. She's a clever woman. You know, I take my hat off to her. She's smart
in
the way she has manoeuvred her career. Because we all know her name. We all know what she stands for, don't we?
Yeah.
We've all heard of Katie Hopkins. We've all got an opinion about her. So she's been a very smart lady.
But she goes on to ruin everything that she said. First of all, what she's saying is highlighting an issue and highlighting a bit of a problem, which we were kind of supporting, getting behind her mindset, and then she spoiled it by going too far. But other people have said, if only our government would listen to you more, Katie, we need more people like you leading this godforsaken country. Why has once Great Britain become such a shambles of horrible, scruffy, work-shy people? Are we beyond redemption? So, so sad. Wake up, everyone, and see this. Unless you pull yourself out of this vile state, there will be nothing for our children or grandchildren to aspire to. It makes me weep to see the lack of morals and any self-esteem. Please, Britain, grow a set of before it's too late. I think you know it wasn't teeth.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So, I mean, what are your thoughts now on the pyjama issue then? Do you still feel exactly the same way? It's wrong? Or are we now thinking, we hate Katie Hopkins, we're going to go against her?
I still think it's wrong. I'd like to know what the kids think, and particularly when, you know, you've gone to watch them and you're in the audience and they're waving and they're looking out for their mum, and you're, you know, mum standing there in her pyjamas with a coat pulled over.
That is dreadful.
That must be really, you know...
embarrassing.
Exactly. Their little hearts must sink a little bit, surely.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, especially if there's other mums dressed to the
nines.
Didn't
realize, you know, they're going to assemblies and meetings and things like it. Well, that's not on at all.
Interesting what you're saying, because if you remember, about an hour ago, we were talking about dolls. And you made a point of saying, it's an interesting point, I totally agree with it, but you made a point of saying that if kids aged five playing with dolls, they're not really looking at the size of the dolls, because we were looking at the fact that they wanted to make a, you know, a Barbie doll slightly chubbier. Well, would that be the same? You can apply the same sort of theory if you've got a 5 to 6 or 7 or even 8 year old, that their mum's in their pyjamas and they've come to pick them up from school, or they're taken to school, that they're embarrassed. Would they not notice?
But I think, I don't know, some would, but I think some of the mums spend all day in their pyjamas slopping around, so the children probably wouldn't notice.
I think it's the norm.
Yes, yes.
And some kids are more sensitive than others, aren't they? I mean,
yes.
My daughter would have had a fit if I'd gone to school.
Oh, gosh, yes. Yeah.
Would she, though?
Oh, yeah, she'd have hated it, because I would have been the only one. And that's what I'm saying. Now, has it become a thing? That obviously it has, for her to have written this letter. So it obviously...
It must have done,
it's
yes.
It's gathered a pace, and it's becoming one person did it, and then everyone's thinking, oh, that's a nice relaxing start to the morning, we'll all do that.
And then they're going back to bed when they get home, and the children are at school.
Maybe
that's... she does go on to say that, actually. That's the reason why they haven't got out of the pyjamas, because they're going to get the kids to school, and they get home, and they're getting straight back to bed.
Yeah, you never know.
How does it vary with the Isle of Wight? Because you've got one... Is it one daughter?
Mm.
And she went to school on the island, or...?
She did her early years in London and then secondary school here.
Okay, so was there time enough to compare between London and here?
Well, I didn't do a school run here. She did. Obviously, she went by bus.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you didn't... No school run here, but you did school run up there?
Every day, virtually, yeah. And I was, I was working, so I was always against the clock. You know, I was rushing.
I think it's what area you live in as well, Ian. I'm not going to say anymore, but...
You're digging yourself a great big hole, aren't you?
I know.
And I have to say, you know, my daughter, big shout out to her, she was fantastic. She used to get herself dressed and used to get her own breakfast. I was, you know, there, but she was very, very independent. She didn't want me doing it, so she'd sort herself out and just be waiting at the door, you know, as I turned up ready, and so off we'd shoot, you know. But it was the devil's own job to drop a kid and then get on to work, drop a kid for 9 and get to work by 9:30. With a tube and a bus involved.
But you say big shout out to her. You know, when it comes down to it, you ought to take some, you know, because you took the responsibility, so you should take some of the credit as well, because you've got her into that mindset of having to do that.
She just did it. She didn't want me to interfere with her. She was all very independent.
No, but that's good. You must have done something to make her want to take control of it.
Don't know.
Maybe
too busy putting on my false eyelashes and my very cheap Primark leggings.
I'm just imagining that for a while.
I think it's the way you bring them up, isn't it? I mean, when mine were younger, I'd always get up and get their breakfast, get everything ready for them, and automatically you do it, don't you? But maybe some don't.
Another comment: however clean your children may be, I don't think you much for their morals, did you? She's having a bit of a pop at Katie Hopkins here. Tony says, slovenly, yes, but is it not the job of any school to tell parents what they should or shouldn't wear? Is it the school's job to do that?
No, I don't think it is.
I suppose it's like a dress code, though, isn't it? It's like a restaurant or a hotel where they want the men to wear a tie.
But I suppose if the children have got to wear uniform...
Yeah, if you're going into that school premises, they're expecting a certain standard, I suppose.
I think if you are going onto the school premises, onto school land, I think the teachers have every right to say these are the rules of the school.
Absolutely. They adhere to them. Yeah. The kids are in uniform particularly. They're adhering to them, aren't they?
If a dad came in without a shirt on in the summer...
That would not be acceptable.
I don't think it would be acceptable, but I don't know who would tell him
but
to put it on.
Because I think sometimes when it's different people, different people get away with things. If it was Peter Andre... coming in, and be honest, if it was Peter Andre coming in without his shirt on, you wouldn't think
he could come in here to the studio without his shirt on.
There you go. So,
but I wouldn't like you to come in your best, Ian.
You wouldn't. No, but see that's.
I must be invested. Come on, Shirley.
That's a word now, isn't it?
It is, isn't it?
But can we be a little bit sort of I don't know, two faced, if you like, when you say. You can come in with no shirt on, but you've got to be handsome, or you've got to be in a good nick. Just say, for instance, Peter Andre comes in, you make a joke of it, but would you be offended?
No, I wouldn't like it. I wouldn't like him to come into the school in front of the children without a shirt on.
Okay,
no.
So Peter Andre, you're not allowed to do it, don't do it, all right?
No, I can make a joke about it because sure. I would let him in, but...
But seriously
he'd be offended. I would be offended with any man coming in.
Because I've got to be honest... I think it would be deemed offensive if a man were to come in without a shirt on. Not quite sure about a vest in the summertime, not quite sure.
I mean, to come in the studio here in the summer without a shirt on, it wouldn't be acceptable, would it?
Yeah, not really. No, I don't think so.
No. Or me coming in with a bikini on.
Well, that's what you need to... It goes the other way as well. Now, if you've got a lady that comes in and she's wearing next to nothing or a very, very short skirt, how do you feel about that?
Well, it all depends. Well, you're the boss. You wouldn't say anything. Well,
see again, it could be hypocritical. You look at there and think, wow. I saw a lady in the shops, in the supermarket the other day, and it was a jaw-dropping moment. She came in, she had a really tight, small skirt on, and I mean a small skirt, and she had the most amazing legs, and right at the top of her thigh, she had this tattoo that went all the way around. And I looked at her and I thought for a fleeting second, and then I noticed my wife looking at me, and I quickly looked away. And I made some comment and said about the youth of today, eh? And I'm secretly thinking, wow, she looked amazing.
So what would you do if one of your presenters came in and she came in with a skirt right up to her middle and maybe a bikini top or something?
She'd get a show.
I thought she would.
She'd get a show. But would you, is that acceptable to drop your kids off like it in school? Or you know, is that where we're going? And nothing, you know, nothing is too much. I got a horrible feeling that is where we're going to go eventually. Mm. You know, that's the way they dress. I mean, you know, you can't stop them. That's the way they dress. That's the way they are, and people just have to accept it, even though they may think that it's not right. I mean, turning up to a school wearing a dress that they may wear out of an evening that does make them look like, in some people's eyes, a bit slutty, if that's the term.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
In my eyes, it doesn't. I think it's, you know, that's a sexy look. But is it okay for them to turn up to school with that look?
Well, is it okay for a man to turn up to school with shorts Absolutely. On that are very, very, very short?
Absolutely.
You know, is it?
I agree. I don't know. It depends on how short they are.
And a vest.
And a vest as well, how hot it is. I mean, you know, it's one of the things, where are we going? Who's making the rules here? That's the way we've got to look at it.
So really, I don't know.
Isn't it but about how much you love and respect your kids? And then you make your judgment on
yourself
that.
And yourself as well, I think. Yes. Yeah.
So you're not going to do anything in your mind that's going to upset, embarrass, cause them any worry, or cause them to get picked on.
But
that's the thing, cause them to get bullied, isn't it?
But some parents just don't give a damn, do they?
No, but I'm saying that's the conversation you have with yourself when you think, well, I want to rush out the door wearing my pyjamas and throw a coat over it. But then you think, no, that's not probably fair. It's not going to reflect well on them, on the kids, and then they are going to get picked on and bullied.
See, I'm wondering if there's this particular school, I wonder if one did it, so quite a few did it, just to make a point of, you know, we're not taking any notice of you.
What's the point, though? What is the point that they're making? Is it they're not taking any notice, or they're not doing anything wrong? You know, I look at it and think, well, if you're going to make a point of saying, I'm going to do this anyway, whether you like it or not, you know, the other side of looking at it is, are they just saying, accepting, look, we're doing it, it's wrong, and we're going to do it anyway, so you know, stuff you sort of thing.
I mean, what is it? That's not a great example, if that's their attitude,
is it? It's not.
Because that's how the kids are going to react and go, well, my mum, you know, you told my mum not to wear the pyjamas in school. She's worn the pyjamas in school. You've told me not to do this, but she got away with it. Yeah. I'm going to get away with it. Yeah. So all authority, all discipline goes out the window.
But we don't know how often they're doing it either. No. If it's just once every few weeks or something, you know, but if they're doing it every day, I don't think they should be.
Okay, it took me approximately 2 minutes to get my son to junior school, but I always washed and dressed, so so him and his siblings, one of them not even 24 hours old, but I did. These parents should get up sooner, they have time to get washed and dressed. I was never a yummy mummy, but I was washed and dressed to take the children to school and nursery as well. Yeah. So you mentioned earlier on, if you've got four or five kids, yes, it can be a bit of a bind. You get up earlier.
You
wanted them kids.
I
don't have children myself, but my mother had four. She was also worked as a nurse, often on night duty. She managed to get us up, dressed and washed in the morning. I prepared, cooked breakfast and got us off to school before going to work. My sister and I walked to our little primary school because it was so close, but my mother would not have been seen dead outside the house in her nightwear. I heard a mother on the radio yesterday saying that she didn't have time to get dressed in the morning before she took her children to school in her pyjamas. If a working mother could do it in the 1950s, what is it impossible today?
Of course.
Yeah, when people say they haven't got time to get dressed.
Yeah, that is ridiculous. Yes.
They haven't got time to get dressed. So
you haven't got time to do your hair, put a hat on. You know, I mean,
how long does it take, though, to pull a comb or a brush through your hair?
It doesn't.
It's ridiculous, isn't it?
No. I think they're just lazy, bone idle, some of the mums that are doing it.
So talk us through the routine back in the... Because, you know, you're obviously slightly older than us, Dame Shirley. Talk us through the routine when you used to get your youngsters up for school. What time did you get up?
Well, I'd get up early because I was lucky. Mick always got up, the dad, 6 o'clock. Always did, and always still does now. So I get up early. We'd get their breakfast, and I'd get myself washed and dressed, and so would they. And I'd take them to school.
Yeah.
I wouldn't dream.
You and your wince, yeah, it wasn't going to happen, was it?
No. I wouldn't dream of putting a dressing gown, you know, my nightie on, pyjamas on, because... No, because you usually go shopping after you've dropped your children off to school. I'd never, ever used to go back to bed.
No.
You know, I don't understand these mothers that are doing
You're telling the truth now?
Yeah.
Because you strike me as the sort of mum that would go back to bed because there ain't much else for you to do.
Oh, Ian.
You do sleep a lot nowadays, don't you?
I don't, Ian.
Tell us what you're going to do this afternoon when you go home.
Well, I've got to get dinner ready because we've got... people coming for dinner tonight.
Yeah, but Mick normally does that.
No,
because he cooks. Because you can't.
No, I've got a casserole already in my cooker, slow cooker. To
We haven't got to do the tea then, have you?
No, but I've got to get.
It's already done.
Well,
you will have a little snooze, won't you?
I might do because I had a bad night last night, Ian. I told you about my nightmare.
I know.
So I am.
Do you want
tired.
To talk about it?
Not really. I'm just tired.
Okay.
Because I had a nightmare.
Andy says their only saving grace is that kids like to do the opposite to their parents, so I am hopeful this generation will turn out to be half decent and want better themselves. As snobby as it sounds, I would feel embarrassed if I was at school with my parents on benefits. Today it's probably fashionable. That's a bit harsh.
Goodness sake.
It's a bit harsh because you know, there are a lot of people that are on benefits because, you know, not of their own fault.
Absolutely.
So these lazy mothers will be quick to complain if anything happens to their kids. Okay, which they probably would do.
What's that got to do with it? Sorry? What does he...
Well, if anything happened to their kids, they'd be, they would be quick to moan about something. I think really, in all honesty, I think... It's common sense, isn't it?
It is.
It's common sense.
Decency.
There may be the odd day when you think, okay, I'm running late, I'm in my pyjamas, okay, I apologise. There are going to be those kind of days when you know, you get up late and you're running late, and rather than, you know, a child being marked down for being late, mum says, look, I'm going to put my pyjamas on and hold my hands up. That would be deemed okay, wouldn't it?
Yeah, if there'd been some sort of emergency, sure, of course. Yeah. We all have those days.
Yeah. If you've been up all night but with your children or something. Yeah.
And yeah, I was a divorced single mum, so I didn't have anybody to help with Sophie. Mm. And I had a full-time job to get to. And, yeah, it just wouldn't have occurred to me. But that was, like I say, that was 15 years ago, so perhaps times have changed. But I just wouldn't want to embarrass Sophie. I think
times have changed as far as the way women go out dressed.
Maybe, yeah.
You know, I think years ago they'd go out without, always had the makeup on and that, but now they don't seem to worry so much, I don't think.
Sometimes I did used to wear my gym stuff, so I would go, you know, my workout gear, because I would be going straight onto the gym, or I'd be going running straight after the dropping at school. I don't know, maybe that's just as offensive, me turning up in my tracksuit or my lycra. I don't know, maybe that wasn't particularly, perhaps that was frowned on.
See, we would call that slobbies in our house.
But do you run in yours? Because they're not slobbies if you actually do something in them, Ian. All right.
Define doing something. Keep digging. They'll always be slobbies, but, you know, obviously people do wear them because they feel comfortable in them.
Mm. I once broke down and I was in my lycra leotard. It was back in the days of aerobics.
Oh.
And I put diesel into a petrol car.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, that was me. And then I had to wait in this get up. You know, with just a little jacket over me. So, yeah, I'm no better myself.
Well, thinking about it, that's kind of the same sort of thing, isn't it?
Exactly, yes. And I was pretty sweaty because I'd come from the gym. I hadn't even had a shower there because I wanted to have a bath when I got home. So I was really horrible when the AA man turned up. He couldn't do that job fast enough, I tell you. And while I was waiting, I was doing lunges because I thought, I can't waste any time. So I was doing all these lunges in the petrol forecourt.
Oh, no.
Another little image for you, Ian. Not
we'll
attractive.
Have a look on YouTube.
Not attractive.
On what would we call that? That's the equivalent of a slummy mummy, but what would we call that?
Sweaty, slummy.
Sweaty Betty.
Oh, yes, nasty.
All right, okay, this is from Hattie. In the 60s, I used to drop my husband off at the railway station each morning. There were always mothers in their dressing gowns and hair in curlers with a car full of kids doing the same thing. Right. So it's not new. She's saying it's not new.
Well, I suppose if they're staying in the car, it's not so bad. Mm. But if they're actually getting out and going into the school or the meetings, assembly, that's when
if
it's
if they're staying in the car, it's up to them.
Yes,
it's between them and them.
But when she says she drops her husband off, and I don't know whether she gets out of the car, would that be wrong then? That's okay, you can wear that, but you've got to stay in the car.
Yeah, that's okay, because nobody can see you then. Yeah, yeah. Especially if it's got to be dropped off very, very early.
So all that does is just say, well, look, you can do that, but you need to cover yourself up. No, don't leave the car. That's like, she's still got to get in the car.
Yeah, but if the car's right by your front door, it all depends where your car is, doesn't it?
Well, you know, not everybody parks outside their house.
Yeah,
so just imagine if she's got to even walk down the street in her PJs.
You see, I've never seen it. Have you, Jane?
No.
So I don't know.
I was quite shocked when I saw this.
Yeah, I would
news.
Be shocked if I saw it.
But you're not out there at that time, are you? Because you're like, well, you don't get up that early, do you?
Ian,
Mick's probably a better person to ask because he is out there a bit more.
I don't lay in. I'm up in the morning always before 8 o'clock.
But you don't go. Yeah, but you go out though.
I'm always dressed, washed and dressed before.
I'll tell you what you should do. You should go out like tomorrow morning about 7:30 and go and stand down the end of the road and wait for people to leave their house and just do a little survey.
In your dressing gown.
Yeah, in your dressing gown.
In your dressing gown as well.
Then when they come to take you away, follow me in.
Schools across the country now have to provide breakfast for children, so many parents can't even do this for their own children. I used to phone up parents about children who had not made it to school to ask where they were. Quite often the parents had no idea and had to check in the child's bedroom before saying, oh, he's still in bed, I'll get him up. There are people giving our younger generation their start in life. But Ofsted inspectors would have told us that we were a failing school if too many children like this didn't get 5 or more GCSEs at grade C or above. Do you think this is something that's just happened in the last few years? Or do you reckon it's something that's been getting worse over a period of time?
I think it's getting worse.
You do think it's getting worse?
I do.
Why do you think that, though?
I don't...
Did we have more respect for each other when, you know, when you were younger? When you were a young mum? Back in the 1940s?
I think there was more discipline. It was more of a routine, wasn't it, that we were in? People had less choices.
I think discipline is a good word there as well. I don't think that these children having children now.
Yeah, and there's far more working mums now as well.
Yes,
yeah. And there's far more single parents, and I was a single parent, so I know what that's like.
Yeah.
There's far more single parents, far more blended families. Yes. It's all very different, isn't it?
There's not so much discipline in the homes.
That's right. I think it's far more chaotic than it ever was. Mm. It was
blended families. Yeah. I like that saying. Yes. That's great.
But when I was little, you know, it tended to be much more, you know, it was 1960s Britain, and the man went out to work.
That's right.
And the mum stayed at home, so that was your mum's job. Or that's how my mum saw it.
I stayed at home until my youngest one was about 10 or 11. I was always there,
so she made was her life's work to kind of get me up, to school, etc. You know, but now people have got to work, they've got lots of other things they're doing. We're very busy, we're very time poor, aren't we? And I had to get Sophie up very early.
Some people are, but some people aren't.
I know what you're saying.
All they want to do is get their children into the school and go home.
But I'm just speaking up for those mums that have got 101 things to do. Perhaps they are single mums and they've got a couple of children. And they've got to work, because a lot of them do work, they're not all stay at home, and there's a lot of pressure. So I had to get Sophie out the door very, very quickly and off to school, and she never fancied breakfast at that time in the morning, so then she'd have something later when she was at school. But if anybody had said, did she have breakfast, half the time she hadn't had breakfast because she'd just got up and out.
Do you know what I find fascinating is we never even were given the choice of whether you were having breakfast.
That's right.
End of.
That's right. And you'll eat what you're given.
But
now the children are given choices, aren't they?
So maybe it's a case of, you know, the parents ought to address that. You know, it's because later on in life, I mean, I know quite a few teenagers that don't have proper bedtimes, they don't have proper meal times, and as soon as you let the child make the decision what they want to eat and when they want to eat it, you got a problem, and you made a rod for your own back.
But I never did that with mine, and I can remember as when I lived at home, we didn't have a choice.
No.
There's
too much choice, and that was the big thing when I was bringing Sophie up.
Yeah,
everybody else around me was giving their child a choice every time.
Right.
It was, would you like to wear the blue trousers? Would you like to wear the red trousers?
What time do you want to go to bed?
Exactly. Yeah. What would you like to eat? And so the kitchen was becoming like a cafe where they'd be doing a meal for themselves, a meal for the child, and a meal for their
wrong.
Partner.
So
yeah,
wrong.
And ridiculous. So this little kid, six, has suddenly been confronted with this choice, and actually they're really thinking, you're my mum. Could you just make the choice,
absolutely.
Know, that's what they want. They want to feel secure, and yet we're going, well, what do
that's
you think?
Right.
And then
the
as they grow
way.
Up, they've, like you say, they've got the kind of whip hand thinking.
Yeah, it's all families now are different, aren't they?
Yeah.
I mean, at one time they always used to all sit down for dinner together at
with
a
the same
time.
Meal, Shirley,
with
wasn't
the
it?
Same
whether you
meals,
liked it or not,
that's right.
You had to just crack on and eat it.
Yes, but now there's
very
so much
different.
Choice, and they're in and out all day, aren't they? So you know, things have really changed.
And I used to go to these other mums' homes. Yeah, and Sophie went for sleepovers or whatever, and I could see them given the choice, and I think, well, I don't do that.
That's
perhaps
right.
I should do
that's
that.
Right. Yes,
I'm not being fair on her. You know, I'm just telling her, I'm dictating to her. But then years later, I read this thing that said actually they prefer it if you just make the choice and
they
make them feel happy.
They like routine.
Not all this. Which one would you like?
Hey, look, we're going to have to take a break, and we will come back and continue Slummy Mummies.
This is Vectis Radio.
Do you need that unsightly chewing gum removed in an eco-friendly way without any hindrance to your day-to-day business? Do you need that fragile stonework cleaned, and are you worried that it could be damaged? Worry no more, because White Stream Hydro Cleaning Services is here. We are the island's exterior cleaning and restoration specialists. We cover the commercial, industrial, maritime and solar sectors for all of your cleaning and restoration needs. Call our professional team on 01983 642 101. That's 01983 642 101. Or go to our website www.whitestream.co.uk for a full list of our services. White Stream, it's what's on the outside that counts.
The House of Chili is located at Hollier's Barn in Branston, between Princelet Chute and Thompson Garden Centre. We stock a vast array of chili-related products from the Isle of Wight. Chili balsamics, relishes, chutneys, marmalades, sweets, snacks, dried mixes, and a vast array of hot sauces from the Isle of Wight and around the world. We have sample tables to taste a wide variety of products. Looking for that unique present? How about a House of Chili gift pack or one of our luxury hampers? Check out www.houseofchili.com. Ideal gifts for the chili lover in your life.
Hello, Maggie here, coach, mentor, consultant, speaker, author and survivor. Coaching differs when working with every client because people have different goals, aspirations or areas in their lives which they want to change. The common denominator is that they wish to make a change for the better and have made a commitment to do so. I coach by finding out what you want to happen, then we work together on solutions. I'm straightforward, but I will challenge you when it's in your best interest and I will hold you accountable. Get in touch today via my website, maggiecurry.co.uk, for a free chat to discover how I will support you through the changes you want to make. I will deliver the goods and help you get the results you want. Begin to unlock your future today.
Adam Frampton Plant Hire, plus groundwork contractors. All types of groundworks undertaken, from foundations to driveways. Free quotes plus first consultation. Special rates available on screened road planings. They also hire out dumpers, grab lorries, rollers, 360 excavators and mini diggers. For more details, phone 077 8755 8501 or check them out at www.aframpton.co.uk.
Did you know there's an easy way to hear the great shows that Vectis Radio has on offer? You know, there's the iPlayer for BBC, ITV have their ITV player, and Channel 4 have their 4, well, you get the idea. Now there's the Vectis Radio app. There's a version for Apple and Android phones and tablets, and the best of all, it's completely free. Just go to your normal app store, search for Vectis and then download. Once installed, just one button connects you to all the great music and chat from Vectis Radio. Get it today.
Stay social and get in touch. Give us a call on 01983 240 666 or add us on Skype. It's Vectis.radio. The World Wide Web never felt so local. So local.
The Lunchtime Social, brought to you in association with White Fibre, providers of the fastest fibre optic broadband on the island. Call them on 01983 240 240. That's 01983 240 240.
So, welcome back to part two. We are talking slummy mummies, and this is a story that Katie Hopkins has taken on board and made it bigger than it was. And also, there was a headmaster from somewhere on the mainland that wrote to his parents, wrote to the parents. I think it was one that wrote to the parents and said that you've got to stop turning up, bringing your kids to school in your pyjamas. And one actually went into more detail somewhere else and was slated for it, where the children had been, in his words, unkempt, dirty, scruffy, and in some cases weren't wearing school uniforms. So that's what we're talking about today. And we were talking about just before the break about, you know, how times have changed since Dame Shirley was a young mum. And you're saying it's children having children, but we were discussing it off air that pretty much you've got youngsters that are having children now, age 19, 18, 19.
Yeah, and younger, Ian.
But how old were you when you were a mum?
22.
You were 22. So you weren't that much older, but my mum was 19.
Mm.
And I know that her sister was 18, 19. And I know that there were lots of people around at the time that were having...
Yeah, don't forget, there was no sort of birth control then when we were born.
Sure.
You know, so they were just having babies, weren't they?
Yeah. I was 36 when I had my daughter, and I wish in many ways I'd been a lot younger.
Yeah.
Because I waited... it's not the natural age to have children, is it? Younger,
no.
When you're young and strong and fit.
Yeah.
And actually, you've got more patience, and you're not so set in your ways as I was. You know, I think younger is a good time to have them.
The trouble is now as well, there's so much choice out there. I think the children are spoiled in one way, but not in another way. They're spoiled in the wrong way.
I think we became too child-focused, and that sounds a terrible thing to say, but we made it all about the children. So I think we have spoilt them.
Yes.
You know, when I was bringing up my daughter,
give them their computers and things.
Yes.
What they want.
Yes. Yeah. And they give them their indulge them, like you say, with lots of choice, lots of options. instead of saying that's it, take it or leave it, that's what's for dinner.
That's,
you know?
Right, that's
and,
right.
But like I said, it becomes the kitchen becomes like a cafe, and you're cooking, juggling three or four meals for different people. And then that makes those children grow up to think they're the centre of the universe.
But it was always, when I was growing up, it was always the men that went to work.
Exactly, wasn't so it's very
it? The,
different.
The women didn't go to work when I was little, it was always the men.
And to be honest, we're talking about mums who stay at home, young mums who stay at home and look after their kids. Well, I think the really good ones are those, and there are lots of young mums who stay at home and look after their kids.
Yeah.
I think they are brilliant mums. And as a working mum, I can say, you know, if I could have my time again, I would have stayed at home and had those early years with my daughter, because they would have been far more valuable.
Well, I did. I stayed, and but there was people going out to work, so they could have a lovely washing machine, a dishwasher, and I didn't. I went without. Mm. I was there for the children.
Yes.
And I think there's so many, they have to have everything, you know?
Well, I had no choice, because I was on my own, so I had to pay all the bills, and you know, I had a mortgage to pay. But in terms of, and I was building a career, but in terms of now, like I say, when I look back, I would give anything to have had those first 5 years at home with my daughter.
Yes.
And I know lots of young single mums or married mums. Just fantastic, because their kids are the focus. They're not worried about their career. They're not worried about a job. They're just, the kids are their lives. Yeah, I think they're brilliant.
Yeah.
Sue says, I'm in my 70s and despair at what I see. Children in nappies down to their knees with dummies in their mouths, trailing along after a mother with a phone in one hand and a cigarette in the other, swearing at the child to keep up, leggings so thin that it's pointless wearing them in the first place. Might as well go naked. These young mothers have a collective look and attitude. We don't care and you can't make us. What would you say to that?
Yeah, I'm sorry, but I do agree with some of that.
You sound like Katie Hopkins now.
Well, perhaps I'm getting like her, but I've seen it. You do see it round town.
Was it not like that years ago then?
No.
I don't know. We don't know what goes on behind closed doors, do we? And if that, like I said earlier, if that mum with the cheap leggings and the phone in hand on the street, that's the way of life, and if behind closed doors she loves the bones of those kids.
But we read something earlier, didn't we, Joan, about a school where some of the children are going to school still in nappies, have not been trained to go to the toilet.
That's shocking, isn't
because
it?
Because the parents can't be bothered.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
How can they, when they go to a doctor, how can, you know, if they've got a problem, they take them to the doctor in the nappy and they're 4 or 5 years old. Surely that somebody picks up on that, don't they?
I don't know.
It can't be good for the child.
No, it's not at all.
Okay. Lottie says, first, parent is not a verb. Second, I taught my children to read, but that is and always has been the teacher's job. Third, when parents all stayed home and kids never set foot in the school before the age of 6, yes, it was the parents' job to teach tying shoes and getting dressed and to eat with the napkin on the lap. But kids are in school from the age of 2. Why shouldn't the teacher teach them how to tie shoes, put on the coat, and what else have they got to do? Teaching, reading, all they do in preschool is play and play.
No, that's wrong, sorry.
Teachers say it's educational, but please, we all know it's just break time from mummy. So if they are going to, if they're going to be there and preschool teachers are getting paid, why not teach them how to dress? I am getting tired of teachers thinking their job is to teach the fun stuff like pattern recognition. Why is that so important and not the basics like the 3 R's and how to tie a shoelace? What would you say to that then, Dame Shirley? You're bubbling, aren't you?
I am bubbling.
So what do they do in preschool then?
We had to, it came in more when I was sort of coming up to the last year that I was there, that we had to actually prepare lessons. The Ofsted made us have it in writing what those children were going to learn all through the week, and we had to, and everything had to be science, arithmetic, you know, English, all based on different things, and we used to have to do it. So we did used to teach the children.
Okay.
You know, it's
they're saying that this Lottie is saying that
when they're 2 year old, they're too young to do that. This is when you get them to 3, that's when you start doing sort of things with them. But the Ofsted made us do it. This is why I left, in fact, because of the Ofsted expecting the ladies that worked at the preschool to do all this paperwork and what the children have got to do. But they learn through play, children do as well.
AD says, I love Katie Hopkins. She says exactly what people think.
Yeah,
I think she does, and I think she'd make a great career of saying what she thinks and what other people think, and she's a very shrewd lady.
Well, sometimes I wished I could say what I think, but I hold back. I do, Ian.
On air, yeah.
I do agree with what she says, though, about, you know, you don't... I would wish that I could have qualified as a mum. Do you know what I mean? I'd have been more confident. If I could have taken some test or exam and known what I was doing. And I know we all learn as we go along as mums. But some, it comes more naturally than others.
It does.
And
yes.
I'd have liked a little bit more guidance, I think. Like I say, just to have made me feel more confident. And I know we all do things wrong and we all do things right, and that's life. But when you're given such an important role, you know, it's the biggest, most important job in the world, isn't it, to bring up a child, your child. And, yeah, I don't think relying on instinct always served me that well, to be honest.
All right. We'll end on that note. Thank you for being there, Dame Shirley, and also Princess Joni as well.